just how deep should a company background check dig? From Marketplace in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for David Brancaccio. Omar Mateen, who law enforcement says killed 49 people in a gay nightclub in Orlando on Sunday, reportedly passed several background checks to get his job. Mateen worked as a security guard for one of the top security firms in the country. Criminal background checks are a common part of the hiring process for many companies, but how deep those checks dig can vary. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
When looking at a potential employee or even vetting a security guard, businesses turn to the background checking industry, companies that scrape data from court records and elsewhere to assess if someone is a risk. Jack Zaran is president of the risk management firm Pinkerton.
Companies are often trying to balance what's pragmatic versus trying to screen for everything under the sun.
Because a better background check will cost you. You can go online and get some basic info for under $20, but if someone moves a lot or a state doesn't aggregate the data, that information is scattered all over. David Sawyer is president of background screening firm Safer Places.
And it really is, unfortunately, no one place that you can go to make sure that you've done a really good, thorough background check.
And resources like the fingerprint-linked FBI database aren't available to everyone. Even if they were, security experts are quick to point out not even the best screening can always catch those bent on killing. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Now let's get a quick check of the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 1.2%. The DAX in Germany, down 0.7%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down. Tens of thousands of video game insiders are in L.A. this week for E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo. Major companies use the event to launch new products and game updates and to try to create buzz. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace reports on how the $23 billion game industry is changing.
One of last year's big games was Fallout 4.
Nuclear detonation.
It's a whole post-nuclear apocalypse world you wander through in three dimensions. But every year, video game makers are trying to one-up themselves and each other with game updates and new hardware. And generally, more people are playing games, but they might not call themselves gamers. Aaron Robinson Swink is creative director of the game program at UC Santa Cruz.
Even people who wouldn't necessarily consider themselves fans of video games play a lot of games on their phone, you know?
Elena Fedina is a data analyst with Superdata. She says the splashiest games on exhibit at E3 will take people to a whole new dimension.
The most promising and unexplored segment right now is virtual reality.
But she says the actual gear is expensive and the general public is still pretty clueless about what it is and how it works.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
As part of our series this week, The Price of Profits, we're looking at corporations. What are they for, and who are they for? One dominant idea is that the mission of a corporation, its only responsibility, is to make as much money as possible for its shareholders. Some even argue it's a legal duty, but Lynn Stout disagrees. She's a professor of corporate and business law at Cornell Law School and the author of The Shareholder Value Myth. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on the program.
Do you look at this fixation on share price as dangerous?
Oh, absolutely. Because remember, what is the object of the corporation? Corporations were created to make it possible for humanity to pursue very large, long-term projects. They started off with creating universities and building cathedrals, and then they moved on to opening up continents and building railroads. Today, we've got corporations designing self-driving cars and even looking into commercial space transport. These are really big, really long-term projects. That's what corporations are supposed to do. And that doesn't involve paying attention to what the share price is tomorrow as opposed to today.
There are no rules that say a company has to try to do this, right? Make their stock price go up.
There are certainly no corporate law rules that say that. In fact, quite the contrary. Modern corporate law is really clear that boards of directors have the discretion to do anything they think is in the best long-run interests of the company. And if you doubt me, you can just listen to Justice Alito in the recent Hobby Lobby decision. Writing for the majority, Justice Alito says, and I quote, "While it is certainly true that a central objective of for-profit corporations is to make money, modern corporate law does not require for-profit corporations to pursue profit at the expense of everything else," close quote. It's absolutely clear that corporate law does not require directors to maximize profits or share price.
Can you explain a little bit of the sort of unintended consequence of federal legal changes that have led to this?
I'll give you two examples of federal changes that have had a really, I would say, corrosive effect on our business sector. One is a change in the tax code in 1993 that requires companies to tie their executive pay to a so-called objective metric. And what's the most obvious objective metric? Share price. So it's federal law, as much as anything, that is driving CEOs to focus on short-term share price increases instead of long-term sustainability and good corporate performance. Another example is a series of changes that the Securities Exchange Commission has made in the proxy rules that were quite deliberately intended to empower institutional investors and that have been grabbed onto and used by activist hedge funds in particular to put enormous influence on boards to do things the way the activist hedge funds want them to be done.
Lynn Stoud, Distinguished Professor of Corporate and Business Law at Cornell Law School, thank you very much.
Thanks again for inviting me.
Our week-long series, The Price of Profits, looks at how corporations affect our economy. You can hear coverage all this week on Marketplace and on our website, priceofprofits.org. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Christopher Olin. Our engineer this week is Bill Lance. I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college accountant? How does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.